Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. This is Alan Churchill speaking. If you were listening last week, you will remember that the Reverend Brent Russett was here with me as the last of our new team of four preachers who will be carrying on these broadcasts while our good friend, the Reverend Don Crisp, continues to regain his strength. I'm happy to say that Brent is here with me again today, and he will be delivering the message this morning. Welcome, Brent, and thanks for being here again.
Good morning, Alan.
Brent, what's your theme for today?
Alan, I want to talk about something that I believe is written deep within the heart of God. It is this: God wants us to thrive. God really wants us as human beings to thrive. In fact, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." This morning, I want us to see more clearly the plan that God has for us.
Sounds good, Brent. We look forward to hearing what you have to say to us on this topic. Now here is music, Sing to the Glory of His Name by a cappella.
Shout with joy to God all the earth.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Offer Him glory and praise.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Say to God, how awesome are you,
Jesus? Sing to the glory of His name.
How great is your power, your power.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
All the earth bows down to you.
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 And they sing praise to you.
They sing praise to you.
They sing praise to you.
His name.
And how awesome are His works for man.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
All the earth bows down to you.
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 And they sing praise to you.
They sing praise to you.
They sing praise, praise
to your name.
Today. Shout with joy to God on the earth.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Offer Him glory and praise.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the
glory of His name.
Sing
to the glory.
Come on, sing to the
glory. Sing to the glory of His name.
Sing to the
glory of His name.
To the glory.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Give Him glory and praise. Praise His holy name.
Sing to the glory of His name.
Give Him praise.
Sing to the glory of His name. Sing to the glory of His name. Sing to the glory of His name.
Brent, may God be with you as you minister the word to us.
I don't know about you, But I have some days where it seems like the sun is shining, there's a bounce in my step, and it feels like I'm on top of the world. But there are other days. Days when I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. I don't feel like I'm thriving. In fact, I feel lucky just to be surviving. That is why I am so glad we have God's Word. God's Word reveals God's heart for our lives. Now, the best view of God's heart comes when you look at His Son, Jesus. Jesus said of Himself, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." When you see Jesus' attitude toward things, you see the Father's attitude towards things. When you see Jesus thinking, you see the Father's thinking. Now, with that in mind, I want you to come with me to a story found in Mark chapter 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's a Jesus story. It says this, starting at verse 3. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Remember, if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Jesus walks into the synagogue, and he notices the man with the deformed hand. The easiest thing in the world would have been to pretend that he didn't notice, or at least not to make the man's business his business. He knows what is going on in the hearts of his enemies. They want to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. They want to accuse him of being a lawbreaker. But Jesus doesn't take the easy way. He seldom does. In fact, he shines a light on what is wrong. He says to the man with the hand that doesn't work, "Come to the front and stand in front of everyone." Now, the clash of values is profound. Jesus cares about the man with the withered hand. His enemies care about keeping the law, or at least their interpretation of the law. Now, watch how Jesus frames the argument. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? In Jesus' mind, healing this man would be good, Doing nothing for this man on this day would be doing evil. He goes on to frame the argument a little further. Is this a day to save life or destroy it? In Jesus' mind, healing this man's hand was saving his life. Leaving it as it was destroying it. Now step back for a moment. It was a deformed hand. Of all the miracles Jesus did, maybe this was, at least in the natural, the least consequential. Leprosy, blindness, paralysis, death, these are the big ones. This guy has one hand that doesn't work. And sure, that's problematic. But it seems like Jesus is saying, if I don't heal this man today, that would be doing evil. If I don't heal this man today, I'd be destroying life rather than saving it. It is in the heart of God to save life. It is in the heart of God to give fullness of life. Jesus is showing us God's heart. God's heart is that we would know the fullness of goodness. God's heart is that we would know the fullness of life, body, soul, and spirit. So Jesus asks the question, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or destroy it? But the people would not answer him. Now catch this next verse. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hardened hearts. Remember, Jesus is exposing the heart of God. Why was Jesus angry? Jesus was angry because they were using a law that was intended for good to thwart good and actually promote evil. They were using a law to destroy life rather than to save it. They were using a law to promote death and thwart life. All of that made him angry. The bottom line was that they were trying to get in the way of Jesus doing good, And in Jesus' mind, that was really problematic. Jesus wanted this man to thrive, and they were getting in the way. If you were this man's mother or best friend, and you saw these dynamics going on, you would be angry too. Things that get in the way of people thriving make Jesus angry. Why? Well, if you really love people, then of course you're going to be angry when things get in the way of them thriving. Remember, Jesus is exposing the heart of God. Right now, we're going to reflect on that a little, and we're going to listen to How Deep the Father's Love in Worship Together Music.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Welcome back. What are the things that make you fail to thrive? Now, I recognize that when I ask that question that it becomes very easy to blame others. If my boss was better, I would thrive. If my finances were better, it would be easier to thrive. If my marriage was better, or if my kids were better behaved. And those all may be valid things. But in reality, it's a lot easier to blame others than to look at ourselves. Because oftentimes our failure to thrive has not so much to do with what people have done to us, but how we respond to those people. So I want to encourage you not to go into the blame game too quickly. Sometimes it's my handling of money and my attitude towards what is going wrong. My stuff gets in the way of relationships, and that causes a failure to thrive. I also realize that many of the things that cause us to fail to thrive are past messages and past hurts. The messages that you tell yourself about yourself. I'm a failure. I can never do anything right. I'm so stupid. And the messages go on and on. And you know, I know that some of you have been caught by legalism and stymied by messages that you've heard growing up. Some of you have been hurt by the church. Some of you have been hurt by clergy. What do you think Jesus would think of those things? those things that get in the way of you thriving. Back to verse 5. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Now hear this. Jesus is not angry at you, but he is angry at the things that get in the way of you thriving. He looked at his enemies and was deeply saddened. He was angry at what they were doing. He was saddened for them. He was saddened at the hardness of their heart. He was saddened that they couldn't see what God's plans and purposes were, and so they were stuck in this trap of promoting death rather than life. You would think these people are his enemies, and why should he care? But if your son or daughter were to go astray and were doing stuff that brought them death, you would be deeply saddened. If your enemies were doing something that were poisoning them, you would not be secretly glad. Jesus was not glad. Jesus was exposing the heart of God. God loves those who stand in opposition to him. They, even when they are his enemies, he is not their enemy. Think about this. All life comes from God and is sustained by God. So God is actively sustaining the lives of those who are doing their best to thwart his purposes. That is grace. In this vignette of Jesus' life, Jesus really loves and cares for the man with the deformed hand. But he also really loves his enemies. His heart is that they would both thrive. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Jesus wants you to have a full, abundant life. God cares about the diet I'm on right now. God cares about what you watch and listen to. God cares about how you deal with your money. God cares about how you use your free time. God cares about you having great times with your friends. God cares about your career and how you do in it and how fulfilled you are in it. God wants you at a level that you can really thrive. He wants you in a sweet spot. I believe that many of us fail to see those parts of our lives as things that God cares about. We think that they're only tangential to the purposes of God. Going to church is a spiritual thing. Going to a good party where there is celebration and joy, well, that's not spiritual. But when we say that, that's not scriptural thinking. And you know what? I think that God is deeply grieved over the hardness of our hearts and the mediocrity of our lives. He wants so much more for us. But here's what you need to know about becoming really alive. The opposite to thriving is sin. The Bible says that sin brings death. The reason why God hates sin so much is not because he's a killjoy, but because sin brings death, and death is against everything that God is. The reason why Jesus came and died on the cross is to take your sin and my sin so that we could really live. I know that sometimes we think that if we were just to indulge in sin, that would be really living. Sin will never get you to where you want to go, though. Don't get me wrong, sin is tempting. And some sins are more tempting for you than they are for me, and some sins are more tempting for me than they are for you. The temptation, though, is always, if I indulge in this sin, I will thrive more. If I could get hooked up, or if I could misuse power, if I could get unearned money, if I could just indulge in pornography or drunkenness or overeating, if I could manipulate that person or that situation, or if I just blow my sack, I'll feel better, I'll thrive, at least for the short term. And you know, some sin does allow you to thrive in the short term. But sin always has a shelf life. Some a shelf life of moments. Other sins have a shelf life of a few years. But sin always leads to a failure to thrive. Many of you are failing to thrive right now. You know your heart is burdened down. But remember God's heart. God's heart is that you would really thrive. Some of you are thinking, well, if sin brings death, then I must really be dying. I've done a lot of bad things. The reality is that sin disconnects you from God. And whenever you are disconnected from God, your soul shrivels and withers, and it will die. And the bad news is this: you can't do anything about your sin. Sometimes people try to make their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. Some people try to earn their way into God's good graces, but it doesn't work like that. The only way to deal with your sin, to have your sin carried away, is through Jesus. But remember his heart. He wants you to thrive. Sin will block you from thriving, and Jesus came to take away your sin and give you real life. And all you have to do is ask. Tell Jesus you want his plan for your life. Tell him that you really want to thrive. Ask him to take your sin away. Tell him that you will follow him because he knows the way of life. When you do that, you are on the path to thriving. I know that there are many of you who are on that pathway already. Some of you see God's heart and you see God, see your life and you see the roadblocks to thriving. I know that some of you live in some really difficult situations right now. God does not promise to change your circumstances. But God does want to give you life where you are. He's able to give you peace in the middle of turmoil. He's able to give you a sense of well-being even in the middle of grief. He is able to give you joy, peace, love. God wants you to thrive. I want to invite you just to pray the simple prayer along with me. Dear Jesus, I see there are areas in my life where I'm failing to thrive. I need you to come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and put me on this pathway to life full and abundant. That is what you have promised, and that is what I want. God, help me to follow you into the life that is really life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brent. And thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayers, especially prayers for Don Crisp and his family. Keeping this program on air continues to be a work of faith. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. There now are several ways of accessing our programs. If you have Rogers Cable, you will find it on Channel 927 at 6:30 on Sunday mornings, as well as over this radio station, CFRA. Also, I encourage you to visit our website and follow us on Twitter or comment on our blog. Now, to conclude our program, here is a wonderful message and song, Take My Life and Let It Be, sung by Brian Dirksen. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of